September 24th, to say the least. It seems like it's always been this way now, even though it's just a couple of months ago. But on the 24th, as probably all of you know in this room, in a nationally coordinated raid, the FBI and other agencies, there were 50 agents involved, in fact, raided and searched five houses here. Jess Sennett, who was in the audience, she was one that, whose house was raided. The anti-war committee was raided and searched, and two houses in Chicago. By the next Monday, both Katrina and I got subpoenas, and what they were raided and given subpoenas for, and what we were given subpoenas for, is to appear in front of a grand jury, which is investigating material support to foreign terrorist organizations. Imagine our shock when this happened, to say the least. Who are we? Let me back up a minute. So at the end of Monday on the 26th, there were 13 of us that had subpoenas to appear before this grand jury. And in the meantime, there had been many visits by the FBI here and in Arizona and California. Oh, Antoine is also here, another one of the raided and subpoenaed. We call ourselves the Honor Roll.
Hall of Fame.
The Hall of Fame, all right. By the end, as I said, by the end of that time, there were nine of us who had, or 13 of us who had subpoenas, and visits were being made in Minneapolis, they were being made in Arizona, in North Carolina, in Milwaukee, and in California. And they continued through the weeks, and people were taken out of work, it was very intimidating, Nobody talked to the FBI, and nobody has talked to the FBI. As a matter of fact, as of today. Who are we? Of those 13, I'm 71. I've never used my age as much as I do now. And yesterday, my 21-year-old granddaughter, who was the mother of the great-grandson, she had her 21st birthday yesterday. There's some more that have been subpoenaed. They may be younger than 27, but at one point we ranged in age from 27 to 71. There are now seven children under the age of six who will be affected by this. And three of the families, both parents have been subpoenaed, and they've had to arrange for emergency custody for their children in case they're taken to jail. You can imagine what a wrenching, horrible thing that is. Everybody is deeply rooted in the subpoenaed people come, the original come from Chicago, from Michigan, and most of them from Minnesota. Although in a minute I'll tell you how Chicago has matched us in terms of people. But everybody is deeply rooted in anti-war and international solidarity activism. Many are labor activists. We come from all kind of organizations here in town. It's the Anti-War Committee, WAM. Some of us, many of us, are members of Freedom Road. In Chicago, many have worked with the Palestine Solidarity Group, which is a very active, as it is what it says, and has run trips to Palestine. We decided right away that we weren't going to collaborate or cooperate with the grand jury, and let them know through our lawyer. And we're told by the federal prosecutors, well, then you don't have to come at this time. But we knew that was just a temporary thing. We knew that wasn't that they were scared by us and decided, we had a point. So a couple months later, three of us, Tracy, and I, were contacted by the lawyer here in town that our subpoenas had been reactivated. That's how we understood it. That's not exactly what it was at that time. But we had become people of particular interest at that time. And what they really wanted was for us to come and talk to the federal prosecutor and a couple of FBI agents in Chicago. But we declined that offer. So we are awaiting the next shoe to drop. Well, we're not really waiting, we're really busy making sure things like this happen, but legally that's kind of out of our hands in a way. A couple of weeks ago, or just before Christmas, there were nine new subpoenas issued, and they were issued to mostly Palestinian Americans in Chicago who have been on trips to Palestine through the Palestine Solidarity Group. This date of the 25th has to do with them. That is their date to appear before the grand jury. And so it is really, really important for all kind of reasons that we be there. It's apt to be the coldest day in the history of mankind here that day, which will give us, you know, even better coverage, obviously. But we have got to be there, and if you can at all be there from 4:30 till 5:30 next Tuesday, and let them know we have their backs, and furthermore, let the authorities know, you know, we're big, and we're not gonna put up with this, and that there's a huge movement that is very concerned and about this attack on anti-war and international solidarity activism. In the subpoenas and the warrants, two organizations are named. The foreign terrorist organizations named are the FARC in Colombia and the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine in Palestine. And I'm not going to say much about foreign terrorist organizations, but except to say that they're really, by and large, very political designations. They happen to be people or organizations in countries that oppose U.S. sponsored and funded occupation, oppression, or whatever. That's certainly the case in Palestine. Another development that is taking place in this case is, and many of you saw this last week, maybe it was just a week ago today, although we've known for a little while that we have been, surprise, surprise, infiltrated by the FBI, by an agent known to us as Karen Sullivan, who did her job really well. I mean, there weren't many clues, and she really got herself into a lot of positions of responsibility, and yet was very low profile. I mean, when I've told people her name, or if people have even seen her picture, they don't remember. Some do, but she was very effective, both in her real life job and also in the work that she did for us. Against us. Yeah. One of the things she did was, and this is why we Katrina and I understand that we've been targeted, is, and this is only, we have no idea what this grand jury is all about, actually, but it's becoming clear at least what one of the focuses is, but it's probably only one, and it's probably, it no doubt it's a fishing trip. They're trying to find something. I mean, she was here. She came at the time of the RNC. That's one thing I forgot to say, that all of us were involved in organizing that first day march on the RNC. She came to the city just before that, and she worked on that, then joined the anti-war committee, and then joined Freedom Road. So she knew all of us very well. And she knew Katrina and I particularly well because she signed up to go on the trip that we took to Palestine. Now, we always thought that we'd screwed up. That's why we got turned away at the border in Tel Aviv. We were not allowed into Palestine we used to say when the Israeli authorities found out why we were there, but of course they'd known for a long time that we were coming and that we were really going to Palestine. Israeli authorities don't look kindly on that, and if they know that you're coming to report back the reality of life for Palestinians, it's a real possibility that we won't get, that you don't get in. Well, she had alerted the authorities that we were coming and we didn't get back in. And Katrina and I stayed, Katrina will probably talk more about this, but Katrina and I decided we were gonna go meekly onto that plane and that we were gonna push back as much as we could and make it known how our right to travel and was being infringed on, but even more than that, how the Israeli authorities, they said we were a national security threat, or not a security threat, not national security. And I suppose in a way we are, because if people bring back, as far as they're concerned, because if we bring back reports of what life is like for Palestinians, the American public doesn't take kindly to that. In fact, that's begun to happen. and when people understand how much of our tax money goes to supporting the Israeli occupation and the theft of land there, you know, people don't like that. So we were going to be bringing back those kind of reports. Ironically, the fact that we didn't get in, we got a whole lot of publicity, maybe more than we would have gotten when we, if we'd come back and had report back. So, because that did resonate with people that we weren't allowed in. She did not stay. No surprise now that she did not stay. We were a little surprised at the time, but she came right back and then disappeared for a week and then came back into the movement again. What we've learned from the subpoenas, the warrants, and from some of the, what we've, as our lawyers have begun to talk to the prosecutors, what we've begun to understand is that, as I said, at least one of the focuses is the Palestine solidarity work. And they seem to be looking at us, particularly for our trip. We were going to be hosted by a group called the Union of Palestinian Women's Committees. Now, that's a registered NGO in Palestine. It's been around since the 80s. It's the second largest one. And yet they're trying to tie that to the foreign terrorist organization. And you'll hear more about material support, which is has become a very bad law, and which is possibly making this kind of work, it's making international solidarity work very, very difficult, and that's the point. It's having a chilling effect, or could have a chilling effect on people's ability to do that. So we, of course, raised money ahead of time for plane tickets and to pay for our expenses, and also to bring them, contribution. People, we've been doing that. We've always done that, right? When we've gone to Central America or whatever. I mean, the conditions that people are living under because of our foreign policy, the U.S. government's foreign policy, we can't not do that, to bring something to at least mitigate the conditions a little bit. So, but apparently that's up for question now, at least according to the courts, and unless we make sure that that isn't true. International solidarity work, as you all know, is incredibly important to anti-war work. We can read, we can hear lectures, but somehow the firsthand reports that people bring back from the countries where war is being waged by the U.S. or occupations are being supported by U.S. money, that not only mobilizes the people that do those trips, but also friends and family, and then anybody. I mean, they often can get media coverage of that. So this kind of work is really, really important, and that obviously is part of what this assault by the FBI is. Now, and that's happening in the case of Palestine at a time when there actually is a crack in the support in this country. Israel is so outrageous. They always have it, but I think the public is beginning to see it more and more. But not only that, it's also the effect of the Gaza flotilla. Now, I'll bring Cynthia McKinney in at this point. It's what she, of course, she, her, she's really been affected by her solidarity work with Palestine. First of all, she lost her seat the first time, and then the second time too, because the Zionist lobby, who was very smart and very crafty, made sure that she didn't win a primary, and then she wasn't elected. She was reelected, and then they got her out a second time. So her political career was destroyed. At least her congressional career was destroyed because of her support for Palestine. But that didn't stop her. I mean, she joined two boats. Two Gaza flotilla boats. She was arrested by the Israelis. The boat was almost sunk. But that made the news, and certainly the Gaza flotilla. So this has all had an effect on American public opinion. And, of course, the ability of these groups to continue to do that kind of thing or similar kinds of things. When the material support law says if you work in coordination with a foreign terrorist organization, you can be prosecuted for material support. Well, I mean, if people go to Gaza, obviously they have to work with Hamas, so that becomes problematic. Now, none of us, we're not going to participate with the grand jury. 23 people are standing strong and refusing to talk to the grand jury. And I'm going to tell you a minute about the grand jury. I didn't know about grand juries until September 24th. And what I found out about grand juries, the more I find out about grand juries, the more I don't like grand juries. They are a very undemocratic, archaic. They go back to the 11th century, in fact. Started in England. England doesn't use them anymore. Canada doesn't. Half the states don't. But unfortunately, our federal government, in order to bring criminal charges, it has to go through a grand jury. So that we're stuck with it at this point. And it is it's a modern-day Inquisition. It's a witch hunt. It's run by the prosecutor. It goes on from 18 months and can be renewed for 3 years. There's no judge in a grand jury proceeding. There are no lawyers in a grand jury. We can't bring our lawyers into a grand jury proceeding. Rules of evidence don't apply in a grand jury subpoena or proceeding. And if taking the fifth is not our right in a grand jury. If we do that, we're brought to a judge who's not there, but outside in another room. And they say no, you have to go back and testify. When you don't, then most probably we would be charged with contempt, and at that time, most probably have to go to jail for the life of the grand jury. And that can be. Jordan will talk about somebody who was in jail, I think, for 7 years for criminal contempt of the grand jury. So it's a horrible, undemocratic institution. So on that basis alone, we can't cooperate with them. Oh, it's said that halfway decent, or maybe not even decent, any prosecutor can get an indictment on a ham sandwich out of a grand jury. So that tells you how much power the federal prosecutor has. We won't cooperate with that. But it's what they're asking us to do is essentially to name names in a rigged system, and it's the naming of names which is also very problematic and dangerous. The prosecutor can ask about anybody, and we would have to answer or risk being in contempt. And it's hard to start answering questions. It's just better not to do that, because they're smart. They know how to get information out of you. So we can endanger our own coworkers, colleagues, fellow activists in this country, but even more dangerous is the questions they would ask about people that people have met with in Colombia and in Palestine. In Colombia is to be a trade unionist. It's the most dangerous country in the world to be a trade unionist. And to name a name, or to even a village where people have met with trade unionists, could result in their deaths. In Palestine, it's the same thing. People can end up in jail. If they have any idea who we've talked to or who we're talking about, they end up in jail, have their homes bulldozed, killed. I mean, we couldn't do it. It just, how could we live with ourselves if we did that? Now, I never got to Palestine, so I wouldn't be faced with that, but certainly with my, with all of you in this room. The last reason is that this is meant to have a chilling effect, this bringing charges against us. And we can't let that happen. We just, our part, our job right now, we're called on to face up to this and to stand strong and to not do that. And not only to not do that, but to speak out against it. And we're not doing it alone. Obviously, the support we have gotten from all, you all understand this. People across this country understand what this is all about and understand the importance of it, both on dissent and on who's going to be next, the children effect this has on all kind of activism. The day after, or the Monday after, there were 500 people at a demonstration downtown, and there were demonstrations in 62 cities across the country. There have been numerous demonstrations since, every time we've called one. Even the Minnesota State Legislature, because of Karen Clark and Linda Berglund, got 62 legislators in the period of 2 hours to sign a Dear Colleague letter, a resolution expressing grave concern about these raids and how they harken back to COINTELPRO and McCarthy era. And we have over 200 letters of solidarity. Let me tell you, be sure and check out, if you don't already know it, stopfbi.net. That's easy enough to remember, right? But there you will, stopfbi.net. You go there and you will see what's coming up. There's all kind of information, the solidarity statements, what's happening around the country. And this 25th, next Tuesday, there will be, it's not just in this city and in Chicago, but across the country, people are going to be holding demonstrations and forum about these raids and about the Palestinian Americans who have been subpoenaed. Our best hope is to remain unified and united, and we know, we certainly know we're not alone, we never have been alone, and we're all part of something much bigger. And I think it's bringing people, we've seen people active and out at demonstrations or meetings that have been inactive for a few years, but people understand, as I said. So I don't know what the FBI was thinking. I mean, they really have in some ways put a lot of energy into this movement. Not that it didn't have it already, but this country, after all, is it's a little shaky. I mean, the economy is terrible. The war in Afghanistan, 60% opposed that. We didn't win anything in Iraq, and Iraq is in terrible shape, and people don't support that, and the support for Israel is eroding. So the government's kind of running scared, which may be one of the reasons that this is happening. So thanks for coming again, and next is Katrina.